Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. Mississippi State starts Southeastern Conference play with a trip to South Carolina, a place that has not done very well for the Bulldogs in years past. Lulu Kesson joins us right now. She covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News out there in South Carolina. And this is a program in South Carolina that they just haven't had consistency. They've had some ups. They've had some downs under Shane Beamer. It feels like the pieces are in place for them to have one of those up years this season. What are your early thoughts on the Gamecocks?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest reason why they didn't have a great season last year was just how young they were. Obviously, there was a lot of things that went into why they couldn't win games. But overall, kind of like you were just saying, you know, the pieces are there because they're mature, they're older. It's a third year Lenore Sellers now, and that really matters, especially in the transfer portal era. It's rare to see a quarterback and a coach spend 3 years together. So I think early kind of general thoughts is this team should perform a lot better than they did simply because they're more battle tested, they're older, they're wiser, things like that.
You mentioned Sellers, and you know, I think last year was, you know, the first team all SEC quarterback coming out of SEC Media Days. A ton of hype around him. Took a step back. There's no getting around that fact. Why do we believe he'll take a step forward this season?
That's a good question. And I think a lot of people are hoping the reason was because of Mike Shula and, you know, the offense last year. I think in some ways the blame is there and it's valid. I think a lot of it was Sellers. I think in some ways, you know, he had a really great first starting year, but there were still things that kind of went under the rug. People didn't notice that a lot of times, you know, there was still a lot of room to grow. And I think he kind of showed that maybe there was just either a step back or just those things, those issues weren't addressed. You know, I think Lenoris has more confidence in himself, and I think that's sort of what he needs. The way that he carries himself, the way that he's talking now, it seems like there's been some growth. There's been some confidence gained. But I think last year he was in a system that just really wasn't working for him. And I think as somebody that isn't naturally a leader, he probably went in instead of trying to fix things as a whole. And I think probably, like his parents say all the time, he's a perfectionist. And I think that when things weren't going really well, instead of trying to reach out and figure out things on a broader scale, it was a lot of like self-inflicted mistakes that just kind of spiraled.
South Carolina struggled running the football last year. And you look in that backfield right now, there's not a lot of proven production there. There's some guys that, you know, talent I think is there, but they haven't done it at this level. Are they going to be better at that aspect of the game this year?
I hope so, for their sake. I do think so. I think there are, you know, even though someone like a Matt Fuller isn't in with the same level of tape that Rocket Sanders came in as a transfer 2 years ago and kind of had this 1 year of really great production with the Gamecocks. Like, I do think there's some guys that really want to prove some things. I think the Texas transfer they brought in, you know, those are people that, yes, their individual numbers aren't award-winning, but it's experience, it's knowledge. And I think that South Carolina, it comes down to they have to block better. Like South Carolina, no one could really, the best running back couldn't really thrive in that system last year. And I think more kind of up there with what can't really repeat itself is, you know, the offensive line has to be better. You know, Lenoris needs to be protected better, but there needs to be better blocking all the way around. And I think that that's something that really, really is going to be heavily criticized if it's not, because it's almost like, hey, you got rid of all your offensive line and brought new players in. No excuses anymore.
And you mentioned the offensive line, very transfer heavy for South Carolina. The guy I want to ask you about is the guy everybody's asking about, Jacarius Peak, who, you know, Carolina brought in. Everybody thought this was going to be one of the anchors of that offensive line, suffers an injury here in the spring. What is the status for him? Do they expect him to be back to play this fall?
They do. And Beamer's, the most recent update from Beamer, obviously, every SEC coach is pretty general and pretty limited in that. But he did say he's ahead of schedule. So I do think, it, you know, Peak will be there at some point, whether that's the season opener. I don't know based on what we've been told now, but I think that they're very much optimistic and not anticipating that he is out for a lot of games based on what we know now.
This was a pretty good defense last year. I wouldn't say they were great by any stretch of the imagination, but they were good enough to have a better record than 4-8, in my opinion. And they bring back a lot of guys. They bring back a lot of experience on this defense. Can they take another step forward to this year, do you think?
I do think so, and I'll credit Clayton White, the defensive coordinator, because I think he does a really nice job of working in people into his system, especially in like a 1 year period. You look at somebody like a Demetrius Knight, a Kyle Kennard, and then you look at somebody like a Brandon Cisse, who just became a, I think, second, third round draft pick. So he's able to kind of pull pieces in, but now he has a foundation of returners. And last year, he kind of didn't have that. I don't mean to keep harping on the lack of experience, but like you could tell with a lot of almost missed tackles and the moments when the defense wasn't as great, you're like, okay, that's a sophomore linebacker right there. And I think returning those pieces, even somebody like a Vakari Swain, who, had a breakout year on special teams, but was also really, really important for Clayton as well. So I think the defense should be able to take a step forward. It's hard to compare it to the 2024 team. I just think that level of skill and maturity was just top notch. That's half the reason why they went 9-4. So I think they'll get closer to that than they did last year, but overall, there's a mix of steps to take and definitely things to kind of like keep going up on.
Offense or defense, what's the position battle you had your eye on the closest this spring?
Ooh, that's a good question. Overall, people kind of want to know, like, okay, who will be protecting Sellers? Like, who are, Beamer's, who's their new offensive line? I think that it'll, like we said, like very transfer heavy. I'm curious to kind of see what the wide receiver room looks like because you're returning somebody like a Nick Harbor, who obviously is great, but then you have this Purdue transfer, Nitro Tuggle, who, and I know Kendall Briles plays a very wide receiver heavy offense, but like you look at somebody like Tuggle, apparently when he went in the portal, Lenore saw his tape and said like, he's interesting. And then you have some young sophomores. So even though that's not going to be, I think probably a bigger question is like, okay, who's going to be the main running back? I would point to maybe Matt Fuller in that way, but overall, I think there's more question marks on offense. And even though Beamer has some returners in key spots, I think little pieces here and there will be important. And there's a lot of transfers and a lot of new guys to choose from.
Nitro Tuggle is kind of an urban legend here on this podcast. We did a whole segment about him because when we found out his name was Nitro Tuggle, I mean, what can you do with that? South Carolina, Mississippi State, that's week three at South Carolina. That is a massive game very early in the season for two teams that want to get back into the postseason. South Carolina, for what I know, I saw a graphic the other day, 8-1 over the last 25 years. They haven't played every year, but they've dominated this series. And this is two programs that you feel like on paper, there's not that big of a gap between them. Why, I guess, is my question. Why have the Gamecocks been so good against Mississippi State over the last two plus decades?
Personally, I'm excited because they haven't played since I've taken over this job. So it is kind of exciting. But I think your point does kind of still stand. Like, there's that record shows a bit more of a talent gap than maybe there's been on the roster. I think one thing, it's funny because Shane's wife went to Mississippi State, but
Yes.
I think in some ways, South Carolina wins. Like, I point to almost like the Kentucky series. I think Shane takes a lot of passion. They say they go into every game knowing that they're gonna or thinking they're gonna win, but I do think that South Carolina, in some ways, has shown a little bit of like, okay, they win the games that they really, really want to win. They're really competitive against an Alabama. They're really competitive against an Oklahoma. They beat Oklahoma 2 years ago, but I don't want to say too much since I have not seen these two teams play. But I do think that the reason why maybe stats like that show up is because historically South Carolina really buys into the mental element of a game. And I think two programs like a South Carolina and the Mississippi State, there's a lot there. And so I think probably they then it's just like an up notch in that type of energy and things like that.
South Carolina always finishes the year with Clemson. And so we've been asking this question. This is the same question for everybody who does these previews. This is the last one. If I were to run into you the day after the South Carolina Clemson game, what are you telling me about South Carolina's season?
For this year, that it finally showed what Lenore Sellers is really, really capable of. I think regardless of how the season goes, I think this system is allowing him to show that he can take steps way forward from his 2024 self. Whether pieces around him show up, we'll see. But I think overall, what I've seen from Kendall Briles and Lenore Sellers, that this is kind of the combo that will get him back to the conversations that he was in after last year or before last year.
I think I agree with you. Briles and Sellers, it feels like a match made in heaven. We'll see how it all plays out there on the field. Lulu, really appreciate your time. First time on the podcast with us. We'll definitely have you back on. Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News covering South Carolina. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.